Well, good morning. I'd like to thank you all for coming out on this wet morning to come to the food pantry. We're so blessed to be able to meet some of your guys' physical needs. What I looked like out there, it looked like the whole place was stocked. So we've definitely been blessed this week. But I hope that today's message is also something that blesses you. I'm going to begin reading, and then we'll pray, and then we'll begin to get into the heart of the text. If you're following along on your phones or with a Bible, I'll be in Mark 4. And beginning at verse 1, it says, "Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he was alone, there around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that he may indeed see, but not perceive. He may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones among the path where the word is sown, where they hear. Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the one who, when they hear the word, immediately receives it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. This rain that you continue to provide for California is a blessing in and of itself, Father. Thank you for the people that have come here. God, please use my words today to not glorify myself, but to point all glory to you, Father. We thank you for so much. Amen. So what we just read was a laying out of a parable that Jesus gives to his people. And he's teaching in parables for some reasons that we'll briefly discuss as we move along. But I want you to look at the very beginning, what's going on here. So if we go back to verse 1, we can see that the crowd is interested in hearing Jesus teach. They're so interested that the crowd gets so large that Jesus is unable to teach and has to essentially get into a boat and scoot away from the shore just a little bit so that people can hear him and see, and he's not being pressed upon. So from the outset, we see that Jesus is not one who is struggling to get people to hear his message. People are coming. We can make some inferences about why people are there. We know that people do love just to hear a good thing. We do know that people are hearing about these miracles that Jesus is doing. So maybe they're there to see something. But we also have to assume rightly, I would say, that there are people who are genuinely in their hearts feeling that there is something about this Jesus that they just have to see and to hear from and to understand. Now in verse 2, he starts teaching them many things in parables. So he's using this rhetorical strategy of teaching through a parable. And now we've all probably heard the term parable, but just to make sure that we are clear on what exactly a parable is, it's not a folk tale, it's not a tall tale. It is a basic story that's used to teach a moral or spiritual lesson or a moral or spiritual truth. So he's teaching them in these lessons that they would understand. I'm not a farmer. If you guys have spent any time with me, I'm not interested in the outside pretty much at all. But to this agrarian society in Jesus' time, farming was a big deal because you really needed food. I don't have to farm anything and my fridge is stocked. You guys don't have to farm. I mean, there might be a farmer in here, but I'm betting none of us are. But in this society, that was a concept that people would have really understood. And the idea of planting and reaping soils and gathering in crops, these are all things that they would have understood. So Jesus is teaching through these stories things that on the surface people could understand. And so he starts off and he gives a command. And I made sure that when I read the text that I even said it in a forceful way. And he said, listen, this was not a request. Jesus is commanding us to focus in on what's being said. This listening is not just for the ears, but it's for the heart. It is not the same as when I'm telling someone, oh, listen to what he said over here. Or I tell my wife, oh, listen to what so-and-so in class said today. It is a commanding, I am expecting your attention because I'm going to give you something valuable. And we move down to verse 10. After he reads through this parable, he lays it out and he gives them this story. He's telling them about this sower who's going out and is just casting the seed all over the place, indiscriminately. He finishes his tale and then the text moves to 10 and it says, he was sitting alone and some people and his disciples came to him. Not everyone stayed behind. The text in and of itself might be a fine story of somebody with a lot of seed and they hand it out and then that's done. But there's something deeper there. But not everyone is grasping for this because not everyone stays. He gives them a story. Many leave, some stay. Only some stayed behind with his disciples to dig in. Those who remained behind to learn needed a teacher. Jesus points out that not all who hear will understand, and that this learning is granted to us by God. The whole could be heard, but only some stayed to understand. So what does this parable actually mean? What are we supposed to get from it? There's a character and there's some props and there's a setting. So let's see who that is. So the sower says a sower went out to sow, like to cast out seed. That sower is God. The seed is God's word, and the soils are the hearts of the people. Me, you, everybody in the world, past, present, future. Everyone here is a soil. Notice how the soil or the sower is spreading his seed. It seems opposite to how we would do it. Ancient Israelites would plant like this, then they would plow. So what would happen is they would just be scattering the seed everywhere. It's just going out. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen those grass mowers that spread the grass seed out. It's like a hopper. You put the grass in, and as you push it, it's spinning this disc, and it's just shooting the seeds everywhere. We're talking about a person who's just casting it everywhere indiscriminately. if we were going to sow or we were going to try to plant something, we would have this kind of designated space. My daughter's trying to get a greenhouse, so like planting is kind of on my mind a little bit. But we would have a designated space, and we would not just be throwing seeds all over the place, seeing where it lands, sometimes on the sidewalk, sometimes in the grass, sometimes in the dirt. But this is how the sower's doing it. Everything is being covered in seeds. Seeds are everywhere. The sower is spreading this seed, the seed being God's word. So we know that God is the sower. He's casting out his word. He's giving it to everybody. That it looks like it's just being wasted. So we know that everyone that hears God's word is not taking it in and becoming a believer. We just know that. We see our world. We recognize that. But it is never wasted. The seed lands on all, and one of four things will happen. So even though that God's word is being given to everybody, and even though some reject it, God's word is not wasted in this. God's effort was not wasted in this. So we have the path, and that was that first soil that we talked about. We might think of it as if you've ever gone hiking or walked a trail, or if you've gone even into the field as you're maybe cutting across, you'll see this part of the ground where there's none of those tall grasses growing up, and the earth is pretty stamped down. And even if the rain comes, it might just get a little wet on the surface, but it's not becoming like a muddy trail that you're having to walk through. That would be the path. We might even view it as the way we see our sidewalk, or if you go out after when you're picking up vegetables, if you step your foot out onto that compacted earth down on there, we're talking about earth like that. That path is the hardened earth. That soil here, as described in the parable, is that God's word never takes hold. So a seed could land on there and maybe it sprouts, but it's never growing. It's never becoming a thing. There's no time for it to reach in and grab anything because it's so hardened. That's the heart of some people, that their hearts are hardened to the things of God. They are unable, they are also unwilling to even listen to it and take it in and think about whether it's even true. The text describes it as these birds come and they snatch up the seeds before they even have time to even try to begin to germinate and get little roots and even attempt to work into that hard and impacted earth. The second soil they described is this soil that's rocky. It's got all these rocks in it. I don't know if you've ever tried to clear out a field. I had to do it once in Haiti and just pulling rock after rock after rock. It is not fun, but you have to remove them if you want what you're planting to really reach out and be able to get in there. But this soil that has these rocks in it, there is soil there. There is what looks like to be a sprouting and a growing of this seed. But there is no real root to sustain it. The moment that tribulation comes because of it, people abandon. So we see this idea that in the text it said that they started, it sprang up, but then because there was no real root, there was no source that it was getting nutrition and water from, no life from it, that when the scorching sun came, it died away, it withered. And that would be this idea that someone who appears, I've heard God's word, it is great, I am changed by it, I love Jesus, and then things happen and tribulation happens. People make fun of you for believing in, quote unquote, a sky daddy. Or life comes and it becomes challenging in some way. And these people quickly abandon as if they never were. That's this rocky soil. The third soil that we're going to talk about are the thorns. So this land, it's got some sort of place for a seed to begin. But it's growing up in this patch of these thorns. The thorns, the word starts well, but the desires and passions of the things of this world choke out God's word. These are people that are very excited. They belong to a church. They might come for a while, but then the things of this life, their patterns of living begin to take hold, and they would rather live those ways than God's ways. We see that so much of the time where people want a form of God, they just don't want the form of the real God. The moment that the real God begins to say, my children do not live this way. My children do not act this way. My children do these things. They don't do those things. And these people, these people that are these seeds in this thorny soil, they want those things. They would rather have those things than the things of God. And that quickly moves them away, and that God's word is not in them as well. But there is one soil that, there is one soil that automatically rejects the seed. That's the hard path. And there are two other soils that reject the seed due to fear or desire. The first soil rejects immediately. Those other two soils in time reject because they would rather not be burdened with tribulation, or they would rather follow their hearts into some sort of lust or deceit. However, one soil does take the seed in and accepts it and bears fruit. And it talks about bearing 30, 60, and 100 fruit. When preparing for this text, I was listening to a very famous Christian teacher and preacher. And he talked about that in ancient Israel, when you sowed seed and you were growing up stuff, you would be very excited. You would consider a good harvest would be 10 times getting back what you put out. So if you put out 1,000 seeds, you would get 10 times that back, would be 10,000 amounts of wheat. So it talked about that amount times 10 being considered successful. But we see in this text that Jesus takes that and doesn't just look at, oh, this normal amount is considered successful. He gives them numbers that would be staggering to them. 30, 60, 100. He's trying to get these people to see that this good soil producing from this seed is coming in such an abundance over what they would even assume would be considered to be good. Seeds 2 and 3 can claim professions of faith. Okay? So you will hear, and you probably know believers, and you probably also know people who claim to be believers. My hope here at First Family is that the people you interact with that work here week in and week out, myself, Nick, Ron, Cecilia, Trish when she's here every other weekend, that you would see that we have a real profession of faith, not a verbal one with you. But we know that that exists. We know that there are people who with their mouths will say something, but when you look at your lives, you don't see any of God's impacting on their life. And we see that with these two soils. They have the R.C. Sproul, the person I referenced earlier, mentioned that these people have a profession of faith. All people, Christians, and these people that we're talking about here, these second, third soils, have a profession, their mouth. But very few have a possession. And that's what we're talking about with this fourth soil. This fourth soil took in God's word and it started to actually produce and not just spring up and start. But over the long season of hot weather coming down, bombarding it, it remained and it continued to grow. That is what we're talking about here in this fourth soil. This strikes immediately and harshly against the easy believism that we have in America here in 2023. That idea that I prayed that prayer once. I went to that service and the preacher called me down and I prayed that prayer. I'm saved. This strikes against that because it looks for long sustained pattern of growth. And I'm not saying that people who don't do that aren't saved. I'm saying we want to be very clear that we're not saved because we said that prayer one time. We're saved because God reached into our lives and we are radically changed and we were dead, but we are now alive in Christ. And the things of God are the things that I want for my life. I want to be holy. I want to follow Jesus. I'm placing my trust that I am not the captain of my ship, but that he is. That is this fourth soil. The things that I normally would do and the things that I would want to do and not want to do that are opposite of what God would want for me to do or not to do, that those change over time. That my taste for something. When I was a kid, I didn't like onions on hamburgers. Now I think that's like the best taste. But God's word should be like that in our mouths and in our hearts. The things that the passage, if somebody said, hey, I get up and I go to church every morning. Oh, I'm not getting up on my Sunday. It's too much to do. I want to sleep in. I had so much fun Saturday night. But the desire to change of, no, I want to be in here. Guys, I got called to do this on Monday. I was super excited to come and see you guys again and be able to share. Not because I'm super great at teaching, because I'm not. But because our God that we're here to tell you about week after week after week is good. And that our heart for you guys is that you would come to know him. If you're not a believer today, my heart is that you would become a believer. If you are, brother, sister, my heart is to be here with you and to celebrate our God's goodness. Now see, if we were in my classroom, I would snatch that phone up and I would answer it in front of everybody. So, with this, I do want to also give you a word of caution. I want us to look at this fourth soil in a right way. Is the fourth soil somehow better than the other three soils? Was there something in this soil that made it intrinsically worthy of getting this seed and then the seed sprouting up and growing and producing? And the answer is not at all. This has nothing to do with the soils in and of themselves. If you're in here and you're a believer, you did not become a believer because you were inherently worthy of it, or you did something, or God saw something in you that he didn't see in somebody else. The soils here are inert. They are nothing in terms of how it grows. It has everything to do with the sower, God, and everything to do with his seed, his word. So I've taught you guys before. We talked about that salvation is a free gift of God, lest anyone boast. No one gets to boast in their salvation. So we don't want to walk away thinking that this soil, that us being saved, oh, it's because God really saw that I really love him and I'm working for him. No. If you really love God and you are really being obedient and serving him, praise Jesus for that. But that's because the Holy Spirit came in and radically drew you from being God's enemy into being God's son or daughter. That's why you're saved. That's why it's God is good. He gets all of the glory for everything. My salvation, your salvation, because he's good and he saves. He brought death into life. He raised himself up on the third day. We talked about that last week. It is because he's good that people who are saved, including many of us in this room, are because that God is good. If you are not one who looks at God as my Savior, I'm trusting in him. I am setting myself behind the things that he says. Friend, I am pleading with you. You do not know how long you have. God is good. God is real. God is worthy of your trust. But even more than that, he's commanding it. He's not pleading with you like a beggar. He's coming to you as a king. He's coming to his subjects and he's telling you, believe. And that's the message that I'm giving to you today. Believe. If you need to talk to someone, there's not a prayer that I'm going to give you that you're going to be able to say, oh, I'm saved because Stephen told me to pray this prayer and I prayed it. Now I'm in. No, but I will answer your questions. Nick will answer your questions. And we will walk with you and talk with you and point you to the God that is not only worthy of your adoration and love, but he commands it as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for your message of salvation that even to your enemies, the only people that are getting your word and being drawn to it were people that were formerly your foes. God, thank you for these people that have come to listen. Lord, I pray that this message falls on their hearts and they either look at it and they see a desperate need for you and they cry out for you to be the Lord of their lives and they set themselves aside from that. God, for our fellow brothers and sisters that are in hearing this message, God, I just pray that this is a refreshment to them, just to see that you are a God that cares and loves and grows and sustains through all season, through all good and all bad. God, you remain in control of all things. We love you so much, and we thank you for the food that you provided for us today. Amen.